this is a recurring issue. The thing that I think we've all got to recognize is that this is not a matter of enforcement of specific orders. This is a matter of the virus that we're all fighting. And you can do anything you want to suspend orders, and you know there are district attorneys who are saying we're not going to prosecute and all that kind of stuff, which is I understand. Ultimately, I think we have to recognize that individual Pennsylvanians are going to make their own decision, and you can do all you want with enforcement, but to the extent that we stay at home, to the extent we don't create a lot of situations where the disease can go from one person to another, we're going to stay safer. And so that's the reality, and you can do whatever you want with regulations. But in the end, the people have to feel confident that they can go out to be with other people or shop at a business or work at a business. And if they're not comfortable doing that, they're not going to do it, no matter what the regulations say. So, people do this from time to time, and maybe it feels good. I don't know, maybe there's a political benefit to doing this, but in terms of fighting the virus, I think we've got to figure out what's the best thing to do to keep the virus at bay, and that's what I'm trying to do.
I wanted to ask about the testing data. The Atlantic reported this morning that PA was one of a handful of states that was blending the reporting of the results of viral and antibody tests, even though those tests, as I understand, are used for different reasons. So I know testing capacity is a big deal in terms of determining when counties can move to the yellow or the green phase. So, you know, how can counties be sure that reopening is based on accurate metrics when, you know, stories like this about problematic data are coming out?
Yeah, I'm sorry, Anna. The report I saw had four states that were mixing antibody testing and diagnostic testing, and Pennsylvania, in the report I saw, was not one of them. So maybe there's something that I don't know. How about if I have Sarah follow up with you? We are increasing the number of tests, and I know we talk about this, and we distinguish within Pennsylvania between diagnostic and antibody testing. But if there's something I'm missing, Sarah, could you just follow up with Anna and make sure that we give Anna the accurate information?
The General Assembly has sent you multiple reopening bills, knowing that you're going to veto them. And so far, they haven't given you a bill that would appropriate any of the nearly $4 billion in CARES Act money. Do you think that they're prioritizing the right efforts?
I think we are working with the General Assembly, and we've made some progress. I think there's some work that has to be done. The biggest one is $1 billion. The Senate Republicans and the House Republicans seem to be in some disagreement. And we're trying to figure out what the difference is, but I want to work with the General Assembly on this. Actually, $3.9 billion, as you say, almost $4 billion, and we are working to try to figure out how we can get that out in a way that we all agree with, and so I will continue to work with that, but ultimately I want to get that money out to the people in Pennsylvania who need it.
There's a report out from Columbia University disease modelers who say had there been shutdowns even as much as a week earlier in states that we could have prevented tens of thousands of deaths. What's your reaction to that?
There was a report out of Drexel University that said that given what we did, and Pennsylvania was one of the first states to actually start with the shutdowns, as you recall. They say just in Philadelphia, the city of Philadelphia alone, moving as quickly as we did, save 7,000 lives. So I guess I haven't seen the Columbia University study, but I think if the way you characterize it is what that says, I think it is very true that the more decisively we acted in whatever setting, the better results we got. And the less decisively anybody acted, I think we've seen this from around the world, the worse the results were. So Pennsylvania, on the whole, I think acted decisively, and that has saved a lot of lives.
As you may know, my role with Spotlight TA is to investigate data, and as such, I have been crunching a lot of numbers. I wanted to ask you about the state's threshold for moving counties into the yellow phase. Are you prepared tomorrow to halt a county from moving to yellow if it's out of bounds of the established COVID case risk threshold? And similarly, are you prepared to move some already yellow counties back into red, again, given the established metrics?
The metrics we have, again, I'll make the announcement tomorrow. At this point, I don't know of any places where we're looking to go from yellow to red. I will be making some announcements tomorrow. We're always looking at the data to make sure that we're doing the right thing and trying to keep people safe. Again, we're trying to figure out what we can do to halt the spread of the virus. But at this point, I don't know of any data that is suggesting that, you know, yellow county should be moving to red. I just don't have that.
Today, a House committee advanced a resolution that aims to terminate your disaster declaration, and there seems to be some ambiguity about whether or not you would be required to sign that. Do you know, are you required to sign that? And if you are not, would you consider just re-implementing another disaster declaration to, you know, I guess bolster some of your efforts to combat the pandemic?
Yeah, first of all, I'm not, as far as I know, forced to sign that. I can veto that, which I will, or I'll disapprove, I think is the technical term. You know, democracies are set up in a way to allow it to move in a fast way in response to disasters. And this certainly is a disaster, as both the U.S. and the state Supreme Court have said. In addition, if that resolution were to be adopted, there is already $1.5 billion of FEMA funding that would be put out of bounds to Pennsylvanians. I've done a number of things that I was allowed to do in this crisis, to face the crisis, like relaxing some licensure rules for retired medical professionals to be able to use them in the fight against the COVID-19 virus. Those would not be allowed under this kind of with the terms of that resolution. I've done everything I can to staff up requirements at nursing homes using the emergency authority, and that would be taken away by this resolution. So I don't see, from a constitutional or democratic perspective, why this would make any sense. I do have the power to disapprove, and I intend to.
I know you were asked a similar question this earlier this week, but I wanted to kind of clarify what your view is on reopening, especially related to the state system of higher education, and whether or not if that's a decision that you think ought to be done as a system-wide, they all open or they all don't reopen, or is it up to each of the 14 universities to kind of figure out their own path?
That's a good question. I meet with the chancellor and the chair of the state system board on a monthly basis, and they are working to have online courses, I think, over the summer. Now, you want to check to make sure check in with the state system. But I think what they're doing right now is figuring out ways to, first of all, work together as a system, not individually, but work as a system to have online courses over the summer, and then start up in some fashion in the fall. I don't think they've decided exactly how they want to do that, but they are working very hard on that, and I think you really ought to check with them.
Pennsylvania hospitals are looking at a more than $10 billion loss as a result of the COVID-19 pandemic. Now, a $450 million loan has been designated to the hospitals, but the Hospital and Health System Association of Pennsylvania is calling on you and the legislature to designate funding from the CARES Act for hospitals across the state. Is this a priority for your administration, and what kind of funding could hospitals see from the CARES Act?
Yeah, the hospitals, actually, we've had a number of meetings with the hospital and the Hospital Association, which is where the help which was 400 and some million dollars of aid came from. At this point, only about half of that has been accessed by the hospitals. In addition, the federal CARES Act has direct federal support for hospitals that goes from the federal government straight to the hospitals, which is a large amount of money. And then the state has some discretion over the $3.9 billion that comes in from the federal government. So from those three pools, there is funding, and I'm certainly sympathetic to the needs of the hospitals. Done been on the front lines of fighting this virus. I don't know where the $10 billion figure came from. I saw the same reports. I think the Republicans in the Senate and the House are also somewhat confused about where that number has come from. I think my administration and the General Assembly has generally been very supportive of the hospitals. So again, at this point, I just don't know where that comes from. I have shown right from the very beginning an effort to be supportive of the hospitals. We have had a central repository of inventory that the hospitals need, and we have distributed, in many cases, millions and millions of masks, face shields, gowns, ventilators. I think we've done a lot to support the hospitals. If there's more that we ought to be doing, I think all of us in the General Assembly and the administration are open to that. Again, I don't know where the $10 billion figure comes from.
We were at a Pittsburgh spa today, and the technicians and the specialists were showing us what they were doing in terms of covering the papers, covering the table with papers, no blankets, shields for the employees, paper smocks, et cetera. But they said they're still waiting for direction from the governor. Are you prepared to give advice to salons when they do reopen what protocol they should follow?
Yeah. The idea is that they shouldn't be open in the areas that are yellow, which is where Pittsburgh is right now. So I'm not sure what guidance they're looking for. The guidance we've given out for the yellow is that they shouldn't be open, nor should bars. I'm somewhat confused as to what they're looking for from me at this point. The guidance we're giving is in red and yellow, you shouldn't be having that close contact. We're trying to keep people safe. To the extent we can move to relaxing those guidelines as we move into the green, I'm still working on ways to try to do that. So at this point, I don't have any guidance. If they're still waiting for me, I don't have it.
Okay, yeah, they just want to make sure they get the materials they need when they do move to green.
Gotcha. I know we're working on it, but we don't have the final guidelines for that. So I'm not sure what to tell them in terms of materials they'll need when they go to green. So sorry about that. Hi, Shelley.
Some counties are going to hit the 2-week mark tomorrow since they've gone to the yellow phase, and I know that was one of the time frames that the federal guidelines marked as to be able to move on to another phase. Are there criteria, or where do you stand with determining what the criteria is going to be for them to go to green, and are there any counties who are getting close?
There are counties getting close. We have the guidelines are published on the PA.gov website that lays out the model that we're using from Carnegie Mellon University, and I think that's clearest that I can be on that. We do not, though, and I'm interested to hear that the federal government has a specific timeline. If you're in a 2-week period and you don't do a good job and things go the wrong way, I'm not sure what's magic about 2 weeks. We're looking at our cases going down. Is there real progress in building capacity in the healthcare system? Are there other things that can give people, and again, in the end, what's going to work here is that people, not government, not me, or not some study or model, but that individual Pennsylvanians feel confident that they can go out and resume life in some sort of normal sense, go to work, go to school, go to buy something. That's the thing that we're working toward, and that doesn't come from any abstract, you know, 1 week, 2 week, 3 week period. It could be a very short time, could be a longer time, and things could go the wrong way depending on how the statistics are. So we are looking at how to move counties from where they are to where the next phase forward, but we're also looking and reserving the ability to say, you know, this doesn't seem to be working out. Maybe you ought to be tightening down, battening down the hatches a little more here and trying to get to a place where people will feel safe and confident moving about.
I just wanted to ask you, earlier in the call, Cynthia asked you about the budget, and you said there was some progress being made. Do you think we could see a budget as early as, next week? It sounds like negotiations are moving, so do you think we could see one, as early as next week?
I don't remember the question about the budget. I think we were talking about moving CARES Act dollars, and I am working with the General Assembly on that. But as you point out, we're also working together and I think making some good progress on a budget. I don't have anything to announce yet, but I think we're making some good progress, and I believe everybody on both sides of the aisle in both chambers are really eager to move on with a budget as best we can. Again, we have limited information. We don't know exactly where the monies are going to be coming in for next year, so we have to be careful. We don't know what the federal government is going to be doing, if anything, to help states with the task of balancing budgets. So there are a lot of unknowns, but I think given those unknowns, there's really good bipartisan cooperation and moving together, and I appreciate that. So I would think that we're actually making good progress.
I was hoping to follow up on a question that was asked, I believe, by the York paper about moving from yellow to green. I'm wondering if Dr. Levine earlier today said that the administration would soon be announcing metrics that will help you decide when to move from yellow to green, and I'm wondering if there are any specific metrics that you can talk to us about today, especially as they may relate to, like, number of cases or downward trajectory of cases that you feel like you would need to see before you can make that decision.
Yeah, well, that's a very important question, and we have been that we use metrics, and as I say on the PA.gov website, we have the I know at least the Carnegie Mellon University model, and that's the kind of thing that we're using. We use models from the CHOP, their policy lab, their other models from Pitt, University of Washington, and others that we have been using, all to inform decisions we make as to when counties are able to move from red to yellow. We continue to try to figure out ways to refine that, make that better and more transparent, we'll keep working on that. But in the meantime, we're making decisions based on the best information we have, and making the best decisions we can based on the best models that are always changing and moving. I'll be announcing a whole range of counties tomorrow, moving from red to yellow, and the hope is that we'll also be making some counties that might even be moving from yellow to green tomorrow.
You talked yesterday briefly about wanting to test everyone in nursing homes every week, and I wondered who's going to pay for that, because we're talking hundreds of thousands of tests. And the nursing homes clearly don't feel that they have the money to afford that.
Yeah, the state will be paying for that. Now, we have there are two nursing home bills, and the money is coming from the CARES Act. But the total is, I think, $500 million in the Senate version, about $500 million in the House version. And we're working to reconcile that, but my sense is that that's where the money is coming from. and the goal is to have weekly testing of both staff and patients once a week. And the hope is that we'll be doing, there are 2,000 long-term care facilities, and the hope is that we are, we're starting with nursing homes, and we'll have all the nursing homes in that plan within the first week in June, so within about a week.
Your disaster emergency declaration, it lasts up to 90 days unless you renew it. Do you anticipate that you'll renew it set to expire in June, and is this something we should be used to having for 6 months from now, a year from now, having this disaster emergency in place?
A year from now, I hope not. I hope we move beyond this. I think there's still a number of counties that are in the red zone, still in the yellow. So until we get to a point where I don't think it's necessary anymore, but I certainly think it is necessary for at least renewal in early June. Again, the use of the disaster declaration, as you point out, is a 90-day thing, but it doesn't have to last the entire 90 days. I will renew it. That's my intention. As to whether it remains in place for the entire 90-day period, this next round, I can't say at this point.